Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
They can't make things worse for me, so sometimes 34 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Nuggets get the big win over the Suns last night, 110-98. Joining us now to talk about that, Katie Wingy, reporter, host, and analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. Katie, what a way to start the season.
Yeah, to say the least. I think knowing how the Nuggets ended last season and the way that Phoenix came in, swept them, beat them here in Denver, there was a bad taste in these players' mouths and this coaching staff's mouths. And so I think coming out and being able to beat the Suns on their home floor to start a new season is exactly the tone that you wanted to set.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. There was a moment, though, Katie, and that was in that second period there, where the Suns kind of started to roll. The Nuggets were turning it over. Nothing would fall. They find a way to kind of recover, make it, they kept their distance at halftime. And then the second half, where did that defense come from?
Well, it's interesting. I asked Will Barton that after the game, and I actually had this as one of my keys to the game coming into the matchup, because it's something they've been talking about at practice over the past couple of days. And it's as simple as communicating better, like having a focus and an energy on the defensive side of the basketball, but also making sure that your teammates and yourself, you're all on the same page, you know the coverages. Your teammate can hear you saying that, you know, they've got your back. And so I think little things like that, making sure that you're all in a string, you're all rotating around, flying around, that's huge. The other big adjustment I think that was made at halftime was having Michael Porter Jr. and Will Barton stagger within that second unit, because that second unit really struggled to score in that second quarter that you mentioned, Brady. And so I think having a guy that's a go-to scorer that can provide just a little bit more offensive firepower in that second group, and obviously this is all the first game of the season, so very fluid in terms of rotation still, but I think that change in the second half made a big difference.
This the second unit thing is so interesting. Like you just said, it's game one and everybody's like, what are we gonna do? Thank goodness for Jeff Green. Are we gonna be staggering Porter? Is that what it's gonna look like with Barton too? And then you're hearing it, Katie, Bones Highland, a rookie, everybody's like, why wasn't he in? Give us your thoughts on what you think. Like, is that a long-term plan as far as staggering those minutes with Barton and MPJ? Do you see Bones Highland getting some opportunity soon? And if so, I mean, is that going to be a quick fix? Is that going to be the fix? And again, it's kind of an unknown.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a quick fix. I think that that's the kind of the cop-out, easy answer to say, we'll just put in Bones. We know he can score. I don't think it's as simple as that, especially with a team that, or a unit that was struggling to get stops too. It wasn't just the scoring. I do think that he'll get opportunities, though. I really do. I think Coach Malone spoke so highly of him. I, frankly, was shocked that he didn't get any minutes yesterday, to be honest. There was really no hints passed along the way over the past couple days that he wouldn't see the floor. It's going to be matchup related. It's going to be flow of the game. It's going to be, you know, Facu Campazzo didn't have a great night last night. So now coming into this home game, will Coach maybe give Bones an opportunity if Facu isn't playing as well as Coach would like him to be? So I think that's going to be a little bit on a string. We'll see what happens. I do, however, think that he did this with Jamal Murray too. When Jamal was healthy, he staggered him within that second unit, and he wanted to have either Murray or Jokic on the floor at all times. And I think he's probably going to start doing that again. This is the first game, so let's not come to any grand conclusions, but I think it makes sense to have Michael Porter Jr. or Will Barton in that second group, just so you know you have a guy that can score and can find his own shot and can get some things going offensively for that second group.
We're talking to Katie Wingy, host and analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. Let's talk about Michael Porter Jr. 15 points, nothing to get too crazy about, but Katie, it seemed like a different head on his shoulders last night. He had the 5 assists, 6 boards. There were a lot of shots that he went up, and I thought, man, last year's Porter, he's taken that shot. Double cover, whatever. He doesn't care. He was looking for opportunities to pass. A beautiful assist to Joker down low. What did you see from Porter last night?
I absolutely loved his game. I thought it was the most all-around game that we've maybe seen from Michael Porter Jr. in a Denver Nuggets uniform. I think it speaks to his maturity. I think it speaks to his growth. I think it speaks to his, you know, adaptation of the role that he's going to have on this Nuggets team, there will be nights. I mean, don't think that you're going to see this Michael Porter Jr. for, you know, this entire season. There will be nights where he takes over and he finds his spots and he's open a lot more. But I thought it was really interesting. I think it was either Will Barton or Aaron Gordon last night that said they had talked to Mike about this. And what they mentioned, and Jokic has said this too, is that when he becomes more of a playmaker, his shot will actually open up a lot more because guys are going to have to treat him for the pass. He's going to be double teamed and they're going to want to get the ball out of his hands and then he's going to find somebody else open. Nikola Jokic last night after the game said that that pass was when MPJ was double teamed and Jokic was wide open and he was like, no one was covering me. Which, how many times has Nikola Jokic ever said that? So I think treating himself as a playmaker and a creator, you see kind of he worked a little bit on his handles, I think, because he is able to come off that dribble. That's something that he's getting better at. We saw glimpses of really good things in the two-man game with him last night as well. So I just thought he looked confident and poised and composed, and I loved the way that he was making an impact all over the game.
Yeah, no question about it. It was cool to see that. Like I said, the 15 points, I mean, it is what it is. Those points explosions are going to happen, but those other stats and defensively just being in the right places, that's what we didn't see as much last year. So far, so good on that side. How about Aaron Gordon's block? I mean, is that thing still flying? I loved seeing the team just go nuts for that. That was an amazing play. It's one of those just exciting to see the team get involved like that watching it.
Yeah, Barton said that he thinks that Gordon can have more of those. Mm. It's one of those things where Aaron Gordon is such an athlete and he is really smart as a basketball player and as a person, and so I think he knows how to be in the right spot and he knows how to read the defense or read the offense on defense. And he credited Monte Morris. Like he said, that block was a two-man play. Like Monte was able to be in the right spot to put me in a position to rotate over where I could block that shot. And to be able to credit a teammate like that, but also read in NBA time, this is what's happening, and get up and block that shot, just a true act of athleticism for Gordon. And those are the defensive plays that those change games. And that's what he's capable of. And that's what, you know, the Nuggets really saw in him was the effort and the ability that he has on the defensive side of the ball. I thought his offense was really good last night, too. He was pretty solid. Him and MPJ put together a pretty efficient night, and those two are going to be key to the Nuggets' success without Jamal Murray.
Yeah, and I know there's a chemistry that continues to build between those guys. And just more on the defensive side, I just saw that a little bit more last night, that guys were flying out a bit more. Maybe last year, certain players, maybe MPJ, they don't even waste time flying out there. But for the most part, I saw a different mindset defensively, it seemed like, anyway.
Well, that fourth quarter in particular, too, they held the Phoenix Suns to 16 points.
Wow.
Like, that's unbelievable to think about a team like that with the offensive firepower that Phoenix has and the way that they were able to dissect and pretty much get whatever they wanted against the Nuggets in the playoffs not too long ago. For Denver to have a fourth quarter, and Coach Malone actually challenged the players in the huddle and had a 20 circled on his board and said, I want you to hold them to 20 or under this quarter. And they held them to 16. And just they took it to a new level. They focused in. They knew tendencies. There were very little breakdowns defensively. All guys, like I said, were on a string flying around. And they can step up when they know they need to. And that was a game where in that fourth quarter, they knew they had an opportunity to seal the deal against a team that booted them last season. And they took that personally. And I think that's why we saw the performance we did down the stretch.
Katie Wingy joining us, reporter, host, and analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. I thought this was important, too. Chris Paul, I mean, oh my gosh, Katie, I got so tired of seeing him hit that little jumper in the playoffs last year. He just couldn't miss. You saw it a couple of times last night. And then, as you talked about, they made the adjustments. He ended his night with 15 points. I felt like when he made one or two, oh, here we go again. But what I was really, really pumped about was to see those adjustments specifically on Paul.
Yeah, they were definitely crowding those ball screens a little bit more and trying to force them outside of the paint. And they gave him a bunch of different looks. That was the point of emphasis coming into this game was, okay, they're so dominant, the Suns are, in the pick and roll. if you're, you know, down the floor, they're going to stop and shoot a three. If you're up the floor, they're going to shoot the mid-range and try and get around you. So they have so many weapons in that regard, and Chris Paul is the king of finding whatever's open. So I think the Nuggets giving him a bunch of different looks, keeping him on his toes, and then also just like the bigs being ready for that and being able to show on those screens and keep their feet and keep Chris Paul in front and you know, jamming those screens to make sure that they're as high as they can possibly be so he can't get downhill. Little things like that and those little adjustments, they made a really big difference. And I mentioned Facu Campazzo. Like, he might not have showed up on the score sheet, but there were multiple instances where Chris Paul was extremely frustrated because of how big of a pest Facu was being. And that's what he can bring to a game a lot of the time as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. He was on the defensive side of the ball. He can certainly get point guards or guards in general just kind of out of their element. Katie, tomorrow night, this one's going to be exciting at home in front of the Spurs. What do you expect that crowd to be like? You know, getting everybody going to start the season. We got the full 82-game season. You know, you got your MVP coming back to Ball Arena. What do you think that atmosphere is going to be like?
I think it's going to be crazy. It always is at Ball Arena. Nuggets Nation always shows out, and especially the first game of the season, the first home game of the season. So we'll introduce the whole team again, all the coaches, and have all the lights and all the show on full display. So I'm really excited to see kind of what the game presentation crew has in store at Ball Arena to get the fans excited, but I also know the fans are just excited in general. I think over the past couple of years, we've seen this city latch onto this team in a way that hasn't happened in a while. And the team and the players and Coach Malone and the coaching staff, they're so likable and they have such great personalities. And the style of basketball they play, I think, is so fun to watch that you're getting some casual NBA fans as well that are showing up and being like, this is worth the price of admission. Like, I want to show up on a consistent basis and see what these Denver Nuggets are made of. And so when you put a good product together and you build it, you know, step by step, like this Denver Nuggets franchise has, I think the fan base feels this connection to it and feels like they've been a part of it. And that loyalty is loud. We'll hear that at Ball Arena.
Well, and I love it. I love to see it continue to grow. Last one for you, Katie. Jamal Murray, I know you were posting some stuff, some videos. He's dunking the ball. Where are we at in his process? Yeah. Are we ahead of the game at all, or is that too tough to tell at this point?
It's too tough to tell. And, I mean, Jamal Murray is Jamal Murray. Like, he's a warrior. He's a competitor. He has his mindset is just so advanced and above, I think, just the average human. And so he looks really good. I've gotten to see him kind of in practices and shoot-arounds. He's doing some lateral movements now, too, which that's pretty typical. I think I tore my ACL as well, so I kind of have a good idea of what the skeleton is like from a rehabilitation standpoint. Like, you start on the crutches, then you have, like, one crutch, and then you're walking, and then you're running in a straight line, and then you're able to jump a little bit more just straight up and down, and then you start to work in some of those lateral movements right around the six-month mark. So I think we're right on track in terms of what I've known an ACL rehab to be like. But I've been telling everybody this. Everybody keeps asking, well, when do you think he's going to be back? Jamal Murray will come back when Jamal Murray is ready to come back. And I don't think that's going to be until he's at like 110%. Because what you're seeing physically from him, his mind might not match. He might be ahead of the game from a physical standpoint in terms of his physical therapy. But trusting your knee again and not having to think about it during the game when you're playing at, you know, the most competitive level and the most physical level, that's a whole nother battle in itself. And so what we see isn't the full picture.
Yeah.
What I do love, though, I'll mention this as well, is the Nuggets have done such a phenomenal job of keeping him engaged. He actually had the personnel scout for the first preseason game against the Clippers. So he's going to do that periodically throughout the season where he'll be in charge of watching film and giving the KYP, the knowing your personnel for the other team, and making sure that his guys know the game plan in terms of defending tendencies and that sort of thing. So it was funny. Coach Malone was telling the story at practice, and in that Clipper game, he took so much more ownership of when his teammates got beat because he'd be like, I told y'all he was going left. And so he watches with a different eye now. And I think even in huddles, like, I'm seeing him go and talk to assistant coaches and watch like clips and film in the huddle and see what the other teams are doing and give his input or see what the coach sees. And so he's very engaged. Obviously, he's like one of the best teammates ever. And so he's always hyping guys up. And it's great to see him around the Nuggets, and it's great to see him working both on and off the floor.
Yeah, I think that is awesome, seeing that he's, you know, scouting out the teams, doing that kind of thing. But again, it just speaks to what you told us about this team, about the chemistry that's there throughout the entire roster. Katie, love Altitude, love what you guys do. What time do you guys get rolling tomorrow night?
I think it's a 7 p.m. tip, so we'll have 6:30 pregame.
All right, we're looking forward to it.
TV.
You guys rock.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No, we appreciate you.
Yeah,
we'll look forward to getting you back on the show soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady. Have a good day.
All right, Katie Wingy, reporter, host, analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. Holyoke texting in. Love what Bones brings to the table. Dribble, drive game. But based on what we saw last night, how does he get minutes? I love Faku's defense. Rivers, as far as a second unit, we're going to have to rely on three-point efficiency. Overall, our biggest weakness will be finishing at the rim. And Bones may be maybe the answer to that. Also, Wingy over Demps. You go Wingy over Demps? They're both fantastic, man. I love what Altitude has done over the years as far as upgrading their product. Those two have been such a huge part of that product. Holyoke says, defending without fouling is also clutch. Did you see a difference in the game call, i.e. Crowder, three-point flops? Yeah, and I saw it the other night, too, or the night before that, was in the Warriors-Laker game, too. I love the fact that we've cleaned that up in the NBA. It's the most obvious change to any sport you could make, and the NBA finally made it. 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. If you miss any portion of the show, interviews with Katie Wingy. We got the Thursday night special coming up. Angels' first Thursday night special. Nervous time at the Forum. You can always go back and listen to the podcast. TheWholeShow.com, 1310KFK.com, or wherever you download podcasts. Just search out The Whole Show. You'll find us. We'll be right back.
If you want Nuggets insight, then you want The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.